just like to just spend a few moments trying to calm people's nerves. I think it's a universal feeling that at this time of year, no matter who we are, we wish we were sitting in the sukkah already. Should be over already. Whatever it is, it's wonderful, it's great, it's an opportunity, it's spiritually uplifting, wonderful things happen on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but boy, if we'd only be in the sukkah already, and it would be in the past. But we're not ready for that yet. We have a ways to go, and I thought just focusing a little bit on coping with that and reducing some of the stress might be a worthwhile conversation. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos of Rosh Hashanah has a very interesting explanation of why we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's a Yontif. On Yontif, supposed to say Hallel. Praise Hashem. It's a gift. It's a sign of a special relationship that we have. And why is there no Hallel? So, the Rambam says that Hallel is inappropriate on Rosh Hashanah. He says they are days of yirov v'fachad, fear and trepidation, umivrach, such trepidation that we want to run away from Hashem, umonos elov, and we run right into His embrace. He says, that's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Yes, there's fear in the background. It's very serious. Day, very serious time of year. There's serious work that has to be done and serious accomplishments that we hope to achieve. But sometimes it gets so overwhelming that we want to run away. But the desire to run away leads us right into the embrace of Hashem, because there is no place else to run. And therefore, the fear itself, which therefore it's inappropriate to say Hallel because we don't want to imbalance that feeling. On the other hand, it sends us to a very positive connection, a very warm, trusting relationship with Hashem, because we're nervous. Who else can help us? What else can we do? We'd like to make a couple of changes, which would be very helpful, but even that is very difficult. So we take refuge, we run and we connect with Hashem. So I wanted to point out something in that Rambam that I think is very significant. I'm afraid. I'm looking for a place to run away. So why am I running into Hashem's embrace? The answer must be that I know that that's the place to go. I have that confidence. I know that He loves me. I know that He cares about me. I know that He's full of chesed and rachamim. And therefore, in this moment of fear, where I'm so overwhelmed, that's where I run, because I know that's the safe place to be. That's the place where I can feel safe, where I can feel accomplished, where I can calm my nerves and not worry about anything else. And that really means that in order to accomplish that, we need to have very positive attitudes about Hashem. And unfortunately, not only at this season of the year where there's a little bit, or maybe a lot of extra discomfort or nervousness or worry or fear, but all year long, we've grown up, many of us, to emphasize the fear as opposed to the love, the fear as opposed to the kindness, loving kindness, rachmonis, care to the extent of no matter who we are, no matter what we do, that Hashem has this intense love for us, and therefore we can actually run away in fear and take refuge in his embrace because of the fact that this is who he is. But that needs to be emphasized, that needs to be reviewed, that needs to be understood, because if we don't, then and we have that wrong idea, and we look more, you know, at some people today, when I ask them, what's the first pasuk that comes to your mind when you think about Hashem? And unfortunately, there are those, many, significant numbers, who say, Kel l'kovos Hashem, the God of vengeance. Now, if that's the way we're thinking, we can't run into his embrace. But if we realize that it's love and kindness and chesed and dedication and commitment and involvement in every detail of our existence with loving kindness, with concern, with feeling our pain and concern about us, maybe even more than we are about ourselves, then that's the place where we can take refuge. And I think that explains why in previous generations, and this is probably where the last generation maybe put the wrong emphasis on, is in previous generations, people were on such a high spiritual level. Their love of Hashem was intense. Their awareness of how much Hashem loves them was overwhelming. Their focus and their confidence in Hashem's chesed and rachamim and hatovo, in savlonus, in his arichas apayim, in the fact that he was noisei ovein bofesha v'chatov v'nake, that he tolerates all types of things that we do wrong, all types of averas, whether it's ovein, which is mezid, whether it's pesha, which is rebellion, whether it's chatov, which is shoigeg, we do it just by forgetting, v'nake, and he removes all of our impurities, like nake, like nikuyavish, like dry cleaning. It doesn't even leave a stain. Completely eradicates it. If we had such a concept of Hashem, it would be different. In those generations, they did. And therefore, they weren't afraid to be afraid. Because if that's who I'm afraid of, I'm afraid. It's serious, but it's not paralyzing. Because I know he's in my court. Because I know he's there for me. Because I know he's concerned for me as much, if not more, than I am for myself. I know he's on my team. And if I'm being judged, I know it's my father that's sitting on the kisei shel mishpot and judging me. It's a whole different feeling. Today we don't have that. We don't have all those positive ideas and appreciations and insights and knowledge of Hashem. We don't have that positive relationship. I mean, the relationship was so deep, so intense, so the trust, the people that they even as they were giving their lives, they were still connected to Hashem unwavering in their appreciation and their love and their commitment, and therefore they weren't afraid to be afraid. Today, it doesn't go that way. The Ramban brings in a Hakdoma to Sefer Dvorim the posel ki imcha haslicho l'man tivorei. With you, Hashem is forgiveness in order that you be feared. And the question is, forgiveness in order to be feared? The more forgiving I know that he is, the less I should fear him. The more non-forgiving he is, the more I should fear him. So what are we talking about? So he says, I mean, the Pshat in the Ramban is that if a person doesn't know how forgiving, how loving, how kind, how generous, how patient HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, then we can't possibly even think of fear. The fear will be paralyzing. And, as we mentioned at the beginning, if the fear is going to lead me to run away into his embrace, I can't run to his embrace because I don't know how forgiving and loving and caring and dedicated and committed he is. But when I know the extent of Hashem's love, his loving kindness, his patience, his rachamim, his concern for every detail of my existence, that's a different story. Then I don't have to be afraid to be afraid. Because, yes, fear, I can handle it. Because yes, I'm concerned about the future. Yes, I'm concerned about what's going to happen. But I know who's judging. And if the judge and I were so tight, we have such a relationship, then the fear becomes bearable. So today we have to be very cautious about the fear aspect because of the fact that we don't have such a tight relationship. But on the other hand, we have to develop that relationship. We have to expand that relationship. And that's something that we really have to work on. You know, when a person focuses, and I've seen this time and again, when a person focuses on Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis, they see an involvement in their lives that they never imagined existed. Because take things for granted. They come. We're busy. We have responsibilities. We have obligations. We have families. We don't have time to sit and think. But if we stop to think and we see, look, this doesn't make any sense. This was truly a miracle. Look what happened over here. And everybody, anyone who thinks, a few weeks ago, I guess it must have been maybe during the summer, I remember, a young man, Yeshiva Bochum, comes to me and tells me, you know, I know all this stuff is true and right, and I know it's the right thing, and I want to do it, but I don't feel it emotionally. So I gave him an assignment. I said, come back tomorrow with three personal stories of Hashgacha Pratis, of how Hashem intervened in a very non-natural, let's say almost miraculous way in your life. And he came back with three stories the next day, and he was like a different person, because Hashem is involved in my life. You know, many years ago, in one of the local schools, I ran a contest. It was $100, which was a lot of money in those days, for the best personal story, family or personal story of Hashgacha Pratis. You know, personal miracle. There was one young man who was very difficult, let's just put it nicely, in case he ever ends up hearing this, and recognizes who he is. Challenging. He came in and he won the prize. But it wasn't the prize that got it. It was the story. He found out from his parents, from his father, 1944, when the Nazis were about to invade Budapest, his grandparents and their children, but the children were young, had to make a life and death decision. Hide or run. That was the decision. If they hide, the Nazis were very good at ferreting them out. But to run, when they would get to the border, they didn't have transit visas. Those days you needed a special visa to transfer from one European country to another. But they decided they're running, they're going. Get on the train, everything fine, train going. Finally, pull into the border. Nope, now what? It's going to be all over very quickly. And the border guards come in, and they're checking everybody's papers. Family is sitting here in their compartment. Just as the border guard is coming to the to this compartment, an old man, and this I spoke to his uncles, that they verified this story, it's real, with a white beard, they think they know who he was, sat down next to them, pulled out papers, showed the border guard the papers, looked at the papers, looked at the family, gave him back his papers. He walked on. The old man disappeared, I don't know, left, walked away, and the whole family, they actually live in the five towns, or they used to, most of them probably still do, is alive and well today to tell the story. This story changed this young man's life because he discovered that Hashem is involved in his life. He is alive today because of this miraculous intervention. And it was just something that was uplifting to him and really turned his life around. And these are the kinds of things that we must develop, focus on, understand, appreciate, and expand our positive concepts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and seeing his involvement in our lives, and through that, developing a bond, the kesher with him. That, number one, will help us to be calmer and not to be so nervous about things in general, because he's involved. And in terms of the Yom Noroim, we'll be able to take that concern or that nervousness that we have and run away right into his embrace, because we know the extent of his loving kindness. I want to share with you a little story, and you know, I'm not very good at remembering what I've said to which group when, so forgive me. But once I was learning many, many years ago with a becoming Baal Teshuva, and I was learning with him, and he was getting very much into things, and we were in Cedarhurst, and we went a little bit over time, and he asked me if I could give him a ride to the railroad because he might miss the train. I said, sure, no problem. And as we were going to the station, we passed what used to be Weiss's stationery store on Central Avenue. And he says, well, just a minute, I have to get something that I need to do some work on the train. If you could just wait a moment. I said, my daughter asked me to get a pen and I forgot all about it. Could you please, when you're there, you know, please get that pen for me as well. He comes out and I thought I had, we used to call it a Kodak moment. I don't think they exist anymore, but anyway, I thought I had a moment now to teach this young man a lesson. So I said to him, I said, look at that. Look how Hashem is concerned with little things. We went over time. You needed a ride. I gave you a ride. We happened to go past Weiss's stationery. You needed something there. That triggered my memory. Now my daughter has a pen. I thought, wow, what a good teacher I am. Anyway, he looks at me like, almost with rachmonis on me, like, Nebuch. He says, you don't get it. He says, Hashem does not concern himself with little things. To Hashem, whether your daughter has that pen or not, is a very significant thing. It's very important. And that's the lesson he taught me. And that's a lesson we have to constantly focus on. Not only is he involved in our lives, not only does he care about us, not only does he love us, and he loves us no matter what we do, he's still there. When we go against Hashem, we feel it breaches the relationship, and it does, because we don't feel that same closeness and connection. But he loves us, loves all of us, he understands us, he knows the Yetzer Hara that he put in us, he knows what challenges we have, and when we can develop that positive attitude that can lead us to a confidence, and that confidence can lead us to a connection, a deeper connection, and then everything falls into place. And even if we feel moments of nervousness or fear, but we run as the Rambam's lotion is, Mivrach Mimcho Elecho. We run away from you into your embrace. And that we can achieve. I just want to add one point to this, and that is in Kapitel Lamed Gimel in Rananut Tzadikim, we say it shot this morning in the Psukim de Zimra. In the middle brings the Posuk HaYotzer Yachad Libom HaMevin El Kol Maaseihem. The Creator takes together the hearts, and He understands each one's ways. And the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says, that's the pasuk that refers to how Hashem judges the whole world at Rosh Hashanah. B'skira achas, in one swift move, one swift view of judgment, everyone's judged at the same moment. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do that. Then it continues, Ein ha-melech noshav rav choyil, gibor lo yinosav rav koyach, sheker asus l'shuo, rav chelo lo yimalit. Nothing's going to help. You have power, you have might, you have tanks, you have armies, you have horses, you have chariots. It makes a difference what you have. There's only one koyach. Hine ein Hashem el yireov. The eye of Hashem looks favorably on the God-fearing people. Lami yachalim lechastoy, to those who await His kindness. And the Chofetz Chaim puts a comma, says it's not yireov hamiyachalim, those who fear Him, who are also the ones who are trusting Him and awaiting His kindness. But he says it's yireov is one group, the God-fearing people, and the second group is miyachalim lechastoy. Hashem looks favorable on Rosh Hashanah, on the din of Rosh Hashanah, on those who are just counting on His chesed. And the next pasuk says on both of them, lahatzil mimov esnafshom ulachayosam barov. He sustains us in life, takes care of us in times of famine. There are two groups that stand in front of Hashem on the Yom HaDin. There's the Yirei Hashem, those that are worthy of that title, And then there are those that are not worthy of that title. But they have such a positive concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Meyachalim L'chasto, Yichol means we're awaiting. We're awaiting his kindness. We're confident in his kindness. It's one of the lashonis of hope and trust and bitochon. It's like we're awaiting his kindness. We have such a positive concept of who he is and what he does and how he conducts his world and how much he loves us and how much he cares about us and how every detail of our existence means so much to him, maybe even more than it does to us, that we're meyachal l'chastei. And the meyachalim l'chastei have a schus in the Yom Hadin, alternative to those that truly are zeiche because of their level of Yerushalayim. And, you know, we have to do our best on both ends. Certainly have to shore up our mitzvahs and our maisim tovim and everything that we do and everything that we don't do in a very positive way. That's true. But we also should build on this miyachalim l'chastei, that even if we fall short, and unfortunately we often do, but the miyachalim l'chastei, those that await the chesed Hashem, those have a special schus of the Yom Hadin, ha'atzimos nafshom l'chayosom barov. So if we can, in these days, develop that more positive concept, appreciation of Hashem, which, by the way, is the most praiseworthy thing in the world. The Novi says, "Al yishal chochom b'chochmosoi, gibur b'gvurosoi, oshir b'oshrei." Ki mezois yishal yishal. There's only one thing that's praiseworthy in this world. Haskel v'yodeo yisi. One who knows Hashem. And who am I, Hashem says? Ki ani Hashem oyseh chesed, mishpot, utztoko b'oretz. I do kindness, I do justice, I do charity, and giving people beyond what they earn. This is what I want from you. So I think that's an effort that's well worth taking over the next few days to see whatever we can do to focus on Hashem's love, to focus on Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis, to appreciate more the positive aspects of his essence, his being, his hanhoga in this world, and our connection with it. That will give us a strength to stand on Rosh Hashanah and through Yom Kippur with a different sense of confidence, of miyachalim l'chastoi, and Be'ez Hashem, and that's chus, we should be zeiche. It's a year that was not so easy for so many people. At this time of year, we always give ourselves a brocha. Tich le'shono v'kidl v'seho. Let the year end with all of its curses. Tochel shono ubirchoy seho, and let a new era, a new year dawn with full of brocha. Ken yehi rotzei. If anybody has any comment, I have just a couple of minutes left.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I wasn't asking for that, but thank you. It's always appreciated. No, any